Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC, and New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is with us now with something new and really interesting he is announcing this morning. Schneiderman is trying to help take the lead on defeating, or at least weakening, Citizens United in court. Let's find out more. Attorney General Schneiderman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
What are you announcing?
Well, we actually have filed an amicus brief in the first big significant case in the Citizens United line of cases. It's a challenge to Montana's campaign finance laws. The Supreme Court has not ruled on state campaign finance laws yet, and there are a whole host of issues that are raised, but some of us do believe that the flaws in the original decision are starting to show up, and then as we look at the factual record that's being developed around the country, eventually, I believe it's going to cause this court or some court down the road to reconsider Citizens United's fundamental holding.
Citizens United, of course, the Supreme Court decision from a couple of years ago that allows unlimited amounts of so-called independent money to be spent during political campaigns in support of candidates if they're not coming from the candidates themselves or their campaigns themselves. We've talked about the Montana case before on this show. Am I correct that it involves a part of Citizens United that said there is no evidence that unlimited campaign spending corrupts government, but the state of Montana has concluded that from their experience it does?
Yes, and the Citizens United holding very explicitly grants for what the First Amendment rights to corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money to support or oppose candidates. And the line you're talking about, famously, Justice Kennedy said that the court concluded that, quote, independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption. Now, in Montana, they have a serious factual record. That statement was made, and a lot of the criticism of the opinion was based on the fact that that statement was made without the development of or reference to any actual factual record regarding corporate expenditures and whether or not they created the appearance of corruption. In Montana, they have a pretty dramatic story. It's a state that had great mineral wealth, very low population, and there was a concern many, many years ago that out-of-state mining corporations and others who were not in Montana or living in Montana but had interests in Montana would try to take control of the state government to the detriment of the people living there. So they passed a law saying you can't get involved in our electoral politics, and that's the law that is being challenged now. And my office has drafted an amicus brief, and we've been joined by 21 others, including several Republican attorneys general, in saying for a variety of reasons that the Montana statute should stand. States should be allowed to regulate their own campaign finance systems, and also politely opening the door just in case anyone is willing to reconsider the lack of a factual record that was behind the dramatic statement that we've just talked about that Justice Kennedy made in Citizens United.
So will your allies in this case have to prove that corruption does result, at least in the case of Montana political practice, from campaign donations?
We don't have to prove that, and Montana doesn't have to prove that. But there are pretty dramatic examples. One of the arguments here is that Citizens United only applied to presidential and U.S. Senate and House of Representatives races, relatively large districts, and legislative and executive positions. So the notion that it's big enough, just some contributions on your behalf may not be enough to prove a quid pro quo, which really was the standard set by the Supreme Court. Again, a standard with which some of us disagree. We think there are other types of corruption other than here's $50,000. I need a no vote on Bill 21. In states, and in Montana in particular, we're talking about elections for much smaller districts, and we're also talking about judicial offices, quasi-judicial offices, and law enforcement offices like sheriff. I think that it may be one thing to say, well, if someone is contributing to a lot of members of Congress, that's one thing. It takes a lot of them to pass a bill. If someone is contributing to a whole slate of, you know, the six judges who might be hearing your case, that's a different story. That we think is something that justifies Montana or any other state in saying, you know what, we just want to keep the appearance of justice here, and we want to remove the appearance of any impropriety. At the heart of the challenge really is a state's rights issue, in a sense that these are very different situations. I note that the Supreme Court has, there's no challenge that has been suggested to the rule that foreign nationals are not allowed to contribute in American elections. There's a ruling on point on this issue. And the argument here is really an analogy, saying states still are sovereign. That is the federalist system we have. And they should be allowed to control what out-of-state corporate interests do to influence their judicial elections and their other elections.
New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, my guest, leading a group, a large group of state attorneys general, in an amicus brief in opposition to some of the aspects of Citizens United in a case in Montana. Does this apply to New York, too, and New Jersey and Connecticut? In other words, it's not just elections for federal offices, but the election for mayor of New York City or governor of New Jersey, both of which will be coming up next year, in which Citizens United apply. So even if we have very progressive campaign finance limits in New York State, in New York City, which we do, that Citizens United currently allows unlimited spending in support of one mayoral candidate or another by outside groups. And so part of what you're arguing here is New York, in addition to Montana and other groups, should have the independence from Citizens United to regulate at the local level?
Well, the ruling in Citizens United only applied on its face to the McCain-Feingold Act, which we, you know, the federal rule, which law, which we call the BCRA. And the ruling was that a specific section of that federal statute violated the First Amendment. So it would have to be applied to different laws around the country, but the implications, I think, are clear. I think it's a point worth challenging at every step of the process. There are many of us who feel that this was just a fundamentally flawed decision, and it's one of those decisions. The Supreme Court can hold this as their interpretation of the law, but as many people did over decades with regard to cases like Plessy v. Ferguson that legalized segregation or endorsed segregation. There's some decisions that people just don't accept, and this is one where the fundamental flaw in the logic is this notion that if you can't prove a quid pro quo, exact trade of money for a vote, then there's no corruption or appearance of corruption. And I don't think anyone really believes that. I don't think most New Yorkers, if you sit back and think about it, would think that if someone spends tens of millions of dollars in support of you for their campaign, that their voice would be equal to that of every other voice, of every other citizen. It really undermines the idea of one person, one vote. And our electoral democracy has always had a balance between the fact that advocacy is allowed, people can organize, people can spend some of their money. But there's always been a sense that there's a broad enough set of limitations that everyone's vote still matters. Everyone's voice can still be heard in the halls of power. And a lot of us believe that Citizens United and that false assumption threatens that fundamental element of American democracy.
And I know that you and others hope that this Montana case will be the first step toward the Supreme Court eventually reconsidering and then overturning itself on Citizens United. So we will see what happens there. Attorney General Schneiderman filing an amicus brief in this Montana case to try to weaken Citizens United. Let's touch on some other things that you're involved with while you're here in our last few minutes. One of them is accountability on Wall Street, called into question again after the J.P. Morgan multi-billion dollar loss of money that was supposed to be used for safer investments. Is your office involved in looking into that in any way?
We're not involved in a formal inquiry, and if we were, I couldn't really talk about it, but we've certainly seen the dramatic reaction to it. I think it's important to place this in the framework of the ongoing day-to-day trench warfare that's happening in Washington over the drafting of the rules under the Dodd-Frank law, which is supposed to be re-regulating our financial markets in the wake of the crash of 2008. I'm involved in law enforcement exercises where we're doing some investigations related to that crash, but a lot of folks, because it's been going on for so long, lose track. There are hundreds of rules that need to be drafted under Dodd-Frank that affect things like proprietary trading and whether or not derivatives have to be brought out of the shadows and into a clearinghouse, which is the kind of thing that would have prevented, it appears, the trades that cost J.P. Morgan so much money. But I'm not familiar enough with the specifics of the transaction to tell whether this was a legitimate effort to hedge an investment or whether it was a proprietary trade that was more in the nature of a gamble.
In terms of the regulation. But the FBI is investigating the loss, and that makes me wonder if you have any understanding of what criminality they may be investigating, because the FBI investigates criminality, not whether banking regulation is good or not.
Well, first of all, the Dodd-Frank regulations are still being drafted. It's quite possible that this could serve, even if it wasn't a violation of law, that this particular set of transactions could serve as a very good object lesson for what kinds of rules must be drafted. Do we need to make sure we have a good clearinghouse for derivatives? Do we need to make sure that proprietary trading is limited and there aren't broad loopholes? Proprietary trading meaning banks essentially gambling with their own money or trading on their own account. But I can't comment on what is going on in the investigation. I think, anything, there are many things you look into that don't turn out to be violations of the law, but this operates at the level of, first of all, seeing if any laws were violated, and second of all, and I think very importantly, reminds everyone of the army of lobbyists that are swarming Washington, trying to ensure that we don't draft effective regulations to maintain market safety and discipline, so we never have to go through anything like we went to when the market collapsed and the global economy collapsed.
Which brings us back to, guess what, Citizens United. On another matter, the Daily News reported last month that you have a working group reviewing the NYPD's stop and frisk policy to decide whether you should get more involved. That was before the federal court ruling last week allowing a class action suit to go forward against stop and frisk. Are you also investigating it?
I can't comment on that. We have had discussions about it, but there's nothing formal going on.
The working group, did that exist?
I wouldn't describe anything as a working group. It's an issue that I'm concerned about from a law enforcement point of view and interested in. I've had discussions with people about it, but there's nothing to announce.
The federal court judge, as you know, said she was concerned about apathy on the part of the city to New Yorkers' basic constitutional rights because there may have been many thousands of stops not based on the individual being suspicious, just based on a profile. How much do you share that concern?
I think that's an issue that's now before the court. I think everyone is concerned, including people in law enforcement, people in the city government, and they've expressed that concern with making sure that people's rights are respected. I know the police commissioner has a renewed effort to make sure that the rules are clear to everyone. Whether that's always been observed or not, that's what's under litigation right now. But I think this poses a problem for everyone in New York who wants public safety, who wants to make sure that everyone's rights are respected, and that's going to be at issue in multiple forums, although having the class action certified certainly puts that particular case out in the forefront for the moment.
New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, we've got about 3 minutes left. On another matter, you're still heading up President Obama's Residential Mortgage Securities Task Force. Any results to announce there yet?
No, I'm one of five co-chairs, but there are, again, I'm sorry to be unable to comment on law enforcement exercises, but there's some of the non-glamorous stuff of investigations going on. There are lawyers being detailed. There's a tremendous amount of work to do because we're looking at a lot of firms and transactions over many years. But that work is going on. I hope that there are going to be some announcements about activities of the working group in the next week or two. Mm. But it's a tremendous exercise. There never was, until the president announced he was going to set this up, and we started setting this up a few months ago, a coordinated investigation between the all the different federal agencies and state attorneys general into the collapse of the mortgage-backed securities market. There was a settlement of a servicing set of claims earlier this year, but that settlement preserved a lot of areas for claims that I think you'll see going forward. In the last week or two, there have been announcements that there were fair lending claims going forward, that claims related to abuse of Federal Housing Administration insurance were going forward. I think there was a $200 million settlement on one of those last week. So the best way to understand the working group is to look at all the claims that were preserved in the servicing settlement mm-hmm. that was entered into in February and look for activity in those areas.
All right. Something interesting that you've given us to look forward to in the next week or two, maybe something from the task force that you're co-chairing looking into possible criminality in the mortgage securitization era pre-2008. And on one last matter, you settled a lawsuit against Skechers, $40 million in sneaker refunds based on fraudulent health claims. We have a minute left. Tell us, remind us, what was the claim, and how do Skechers buyers get their refunds?
Well, there's a federal monitor that's been set up. Skechers buyers are able to contact them. The store is cooperating by trying to give information about who purchased their products, but we all heard these claims. You just walk around and your tone and your fit and everything. Apparently, there wasn't any scientific evidence to back it up. So for anyone who bought them because of style, I guess you can keep them. For those who bought them because you thought it was going to make you healthier and look better, that's what the case was settled about. And that's those are the folks who will be eligible for refunds. I must admit, looking at those ads over all the years, I wondered if this could really be true. But I must admit, I know a few people who bought them as well.
Darn. And I thought just by wearing the right clothes, I could stay fit and healthy. Ha. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Stay with us.